This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wa Salli Wa Sallam Ala Sayyidina Awwalin Wal Akhirin, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, Wa Ala Alihi Wa Sahbihi Wa Barak Wa Sallam. All praise are due to Allah, Lord of the Worlds, and peace and blessings be constantly showered upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, the Master of the First and the Last, and his family, his companions, and all those who call to his way to the Day of Judgment. My brothers and sisters, Assalamu Alaikum Wa Rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, this is another chance with our new Muslim Corner. And the intention of this gathering is twofold, really to bring the foundations of what Islam is so that we have a good understanding of our faith, but also it's a chance to ask questions. And the first set of questions will be dealing with the subject matter. But there will be a chance for those who are here in Toronto, you know, at our actual place, there will be some other questions as well. If anybody who's online has any suggestions about topics, this is new Muslims, have any important ideas or any areas that they would like to focus on, then you can mention that online to us so that we can. We're putting together information to see what extra classes we can have and how we can make this, you know, more accessible to the new Muslims. For those who have embraced Islam already and they're renewing their faith, this particular class is not the one for Islamic politics and, you know, high-level understandings of school of thought. No, this is really a class for the beginners. And there is a class on Tuesday nights that I run. And also there are other classes during the week here where you can go into different aspects of the faith itself. So we are looking at the foundations of Iman, the foundations of our faith. And this is important because there is so much disinformation being put out there, so much distortion and lies. Especially when it comes to Muslims. And there are actually people online who dedicate themselves to bringing the wrong information. So therefore, it's important for a new Muslim to get a good, solid base in what Islam is, what we believe in, what is our worldview. And then, when you look at the world and you hear all these different reports, you have a foundation because you know who you are. And we recognize that in terms of our faith, that we, according to the Prophet ﷺ, we believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, meaning the prophets, the last day, and the will of Allah, the good and the evil thereof. And we reach the point of dealing with the part of Yawm al-Akhir, the last day. And this is an important concept. This is what makes us, distinguishes us from other people, because we believe that this life is not the end. And there will be justice that will come on a day of judgment, which will lead people to paradise or to hellfire. And that gives us another understanding. When you're looking at the tragedies in the world, when you're looking at people gaining wealth, like you might think that this person is living a good life, and they have all this money, and they have doctors and everything, and they pass away nicely in their bed, whereas somebody else is really poor and suffering all their life. Where's the justice? Okay, that story about the rich person, however, is not actually true. Because even the people with wealth, they're human beings. And it is said that a person named Howard Hughes, who was one of the richest people who ever lived, and this is, of course, a couple decades before the present day rich people, but he was one of the richest people. You could put him in the top category. And he had so much, but when he died, he was by himself in his bed. He couldn't trust anybody because he thought that everybody who came to him was coming to get his money. So he could not trust anybody, and he died by himself, a frightened person. So the money actually didn't liberate him. It put him in prison. So this world, as Allah says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, the life of this world is nothing but material deception. When we understand that if that person who is rich gained his riches by stealing from people, by imposing taxes, by doing wrong things, that even though it appears his life is comfortable in this world, in the hereafter, he would suffer. He would have to pay for everything that he did. Similarly, if another person suffered in this world and never really had that much and felt a lot of pain, but they lived a good life, then they would, inshallah, have enjoyment for eternal life. Eternal life. And if you weigh the two together, eternal life is much more than present life. So, Yawm al-Akhir, the final day, this is the transition point. It's a transition point from this world into the hereafter. And there are certain signs of the last day, and these signs are important for us to know, to have a general understanding. We're not going to go into the deep, deep details, but give you a general understanding of what these signs are. It's important because the signs are being used by other religions for political reasons to confuse people, even Muslims. So when we looked at the signs, the major signs of the Day of Judgment, we reached the point where we came to the presence of Isa alayhi salam. This is after the Antichrist coming, Dajjal, and then the descent of Jesus. And it's important, with all this negativity that is here, you might think there will never be anything good. But at the end of the life of Isa alayhi salam, and this is what Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said. He said, this affair will reach, meaning Islam, will reach whatever is reached by the night and the day. Okay, so if you think about that, wherever the night and the day goes, that's the whole world. And Allah will not leave a dwelling of brick nor of fur, except that He will cause this religion to enter into it, bringing either honor or humiliation. So there's going to come a time when Islam is going to spread all over the world. This is our belief. Even though it seems now Muslims are under attack and we're only in certain places, but you can see how many people are now interested in Islam. You can already see it. And with the major calamities happening, the Prophet said, this will be honor. Honor will come to people which Allah grants Islam, or humiliation for those who fall into disbelief. And Isa alayhi salam, there's a lot of strange things that go on. And after a while, people start to become a little bit weak. And, you know, Islamic practice, and this is after the death of Isa alayhi salam, because we learned that he will die a natural death and be buried, we believe, in Medina. There's a place in Medina for him to be buried. And he will die as a Muslim, not as a last prophet, merely as a righteous ruler, Hakaman Adalan, universal peace. But the nature of people, because human beings are weak, and we have the nafs, we have our self and our desire for material things. And according to the traditions, people will become weaker after Isa alayhi salam, after a period of time, and practice starts to fade away. So things start to change. And when this weakened faith is now practiced all over the place, another major sign comes, and that is ad-dukhan. And this dukhan is smoke. And you can see now this castle surrounded by smoke. I mean, even if you look at the world today, you'll see that places like Delhi, you know, in India, it looks like that, you know, most of the time now. It's like smog or fog that is coming in. And there are certain incidents that have happened, volcanoes that went off. And then the smoke from the volcano hits the jet stream, and it gets carried all over the world. And people are smelling this smoke in different parts of the world. But this particular sign in chapter 44, verses 10 to 11, Allah said, then wait for the day when the sky will bring forth a visible smoke covering the people. His will be a painful torment. So this smoke, this dukhan, is going to travel all around the world. And Imam al-Qutubi, rahimahullah, he gave some information about what the smoke is. And he said that the smoke will cover the earth for a period of 40 days. So for 40 days, the earth is going to be covered with this smoke. And it will be affecting both believers and disbelievers. So the smoke is everywhere. Okay, for 40 days. The former, the believers, when the smoke hits the believers, it'll be like a common cold. Okay, so you feel like you're choked up. Many people now in this season, when it's going into winter, you know, they'll get stuffed up in their allergy. So it's like a common cold. But the disbeliever, it will be choking on this smoke. Okay, and this will be an international incident. The smoke that has come from different volcanic eruptions has reached different parts of the world. But this one is going to blanket the whole of the planet. And so this is considered to be one of the major signs of the Day of Judgment. Okay? This is ad-dukhan. And following this, and this is basically the scholarly order that we had, but it's not fixed in stone. It could be slightly different. When it comes to the Dajjal, the Antichrist, and then Jesus, and then Gog and Magog, that's agreed upon. It'll be in that order. But when it comes to some of the other minor ones, there may be slight differences in, you know, how they actually come. And the next one is Adabba, the creature. And in this light, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, and when the word of torment is fulfilled against them, we shall bring out from the earth a beast. A beast will come from the earth for them to speak to them, because humanity did not believe with certainty in our signs. So the word dabba is being used. And in Arabic, that is a general term, like a creature, a beast. And Allah knows what this beast will be, but in one tradition it said that the beast will speak all languages. So it's going to communicate with people in all languages. What it will actually look like, we don't know. People in the past 30 years or so, could be 40 now, 40, especially 30 years with the technology, we are watching movies are coming out where the creature is the hero of the story. Okay, do you know any movies where the creature is the hero of the story? Think of any, and I'll give you one. Anaconda. You know what anaconda is? It's a large snake. Okay, so there's a story about this. And they make up things, like there's one Godzilla. Large creatures, right? Like a dinosaur-looking type creature. And Godzilla is the hero of the story. And you have creatures that are doing all types of things. So our imaginations are very much open about what it is. Still, we don't know. But we do know that this beast will come. And this is going to be a frightening event. So this is something that's going to, you know, put people in terror all over the planet. Right? So this is the dabba. Right, this is another. We don't get a lot of details, you know, about what the dabba is. But people are going to start doing really strange things. And even, you know, at this point in time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be among my ummah, you know, transformations of people into animals, hails of stone from the sky. There's going to be a lot of different things that are happening, strange things that are going on. Okay? And so this is an apocalypse. Apocalyptic, a series of apocalyptic events will be taking place. Okay, so you have that universal peace in the time of Isa alayhi salam. After his time, things start to deteriorate. And remember, about the signs themselves, they were described as being like the beads on a string. And once you break the string, they come. They come rapidly. So they'll be moving there, and it will be a terrible time. Now, this was the major hadith where we got the general information about the signs. And, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said, the hour will not come until you see 10 signs. Okay, so in other words, if a person came to you, and there's been examples of the companions, where somebody came running up to Abdullah ibn Abbas, you know, and then said, the day of judgment has come. And he just looked at him calmly and said, no, it hasn't come, because there's certain signs. If you don't see these signs, it is not the day of judgment. Even though things really look apocalyptic. It's really hectic. But it's not actually the day of judgment. Okay? And so he said that the hour will not come until you see 10 signs. And he mentioned the smoke. He mentioned Dajjal, right, the Antichrist, the beast, and then he said the rising of the sun from the west, the descent of Isa ibn Maryam, Yajuj and Majuj, right, Gog and Magog, the three landslides, one in the east, one in the west, and one in the Arabian Peninsula, and the last sign is a fire which will emerge from Yemen and drive the people to their place of gathering. So, really, what we're dealing with here now, The next one, if we sort of have an order to it, the next other major signs would be landslides. So this is major, like earthquakes and major landslides. One would happen in the east, and one in the west, and one in the Arabian Peninsula. So these are major rumblings in the earth. And we know that the earth is going through tremendous changes now, that what they call the tectonic plates. And especially with human beings dropping nuclear weapons and things, we're actually disrupting the earth. Okay, so these are going to be really apocalyptic. And it's going to literally change even the shape of the earth. We don't get the exact shape that it would be, but this is going to bring about changes in the earth. And this is bringing us toward the end of Islam. Now, I'm going to go right through this because this is far away, right? So don't think this is right now. So you got a long way to go before you come here. But just so you have the general picture of things, the Prophet ﷺ said Islam will wear out like the adornment of a garment wears out until no one would know what fasting, prayer, sacrifice, or charity are. The book of Allah will be taken away in one night, and not one ayah will be left on earth. There will remain groups of people, old men and women will say, we heard our fathers, forefathers saying the word La ilaha illallah, so we say it. Okay? And this is how the memory of people can go. And this has actually happened now. And I ran into this from people who came from Brazil. And there were a number of Muslims who came to Brazil during the Atlantic slave trade. Okay, and they had strong Muslim kingdoms. Their empires were actually in Brazil. And there were many people who were Muslim in that area. But in some of the far reaches, with Islam not being strong and the slave revolts and all the difficulties, people start losing their Islam. And one person who is a da'iya person, he calls to Islam. He went to this village, and the people said they were Muslim. And he said, what do you know about Islam? And the women gathered together, and they clapped their hands, and they sang something which meant like, there's no God but Allah in Brazilian Portuguese, something like this. And there was a man in the middle, and he was sort of like dancing around. That was the only thing they had left. Okay? But they knew, at least they knew that there was Allah. And like this case, the person will say, we heard our forefathers saying the word La ilaha illallah. So therefore we say it. Okay? And then the most evil of people will come, because this is right before the end. This was right before the end. So right before the major quaking of the earth, that Allah will send a good wind, and it will seize the believers beneath their armpits, and they will be taken away, the soul will be taken away of every believer, and the most evil people will be left on earth, who fornicate like donkeys, and upon them, judgment day will come. Okay? And so right at the end, there is what is called Western sunrise, because that's one of the signs. The sun is going to rise in the west. So what does that actually mean? And there are some scientific discussions even about the earth changing on its axis, and whatnot. That is actually sort of happening now. But the hadith is saying the hour will not come until the sun rises from the west. And when it rises and the people see it, they will believe. But that will be the time when faith will not benefit people at all, if they did not believe before that. This is the end. Okay, this is the final time. And then there would be a fire. A huge fire will emerge. And it will be driving people. The Sea of Hadramaut is near Yemen. It's in the southern part of Arabia. And a huge fire, and this is going to spread and engulf much of the earth. And it's going to be driving people toward an area which would be right around the area that we know today as Syria. Okay, and again, the shape of the earth is changing and flattened out. And they asked the Prophet, what do you instruct us to do, O Messenger of Allah? In other words, if you're alive at that time, but probably no one wants to be alive then. But he said, I advise you to go to Syria. Okay? And this is how important Syria is. And when Asham is used, right, which is the word in Arabic, Asham, it actually means Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, right? All of that region there is actually Jordan. That's all considered to be Asham, okay, up in that area. Okay, so this is the large fire which will drive people towards the final mawqif. It is the final place. The earth will be flattened out. And at that point, and we may touch on some of this as we go along, but at that point, people will be raised. And everybody will be raised from their grave. If you have a grave or you don't have a grave, you'll be raised. And they say that in the human body, there is a tiny grain that is there that even if a person is cremated, it doesn't actually get destroyed. So there's a tiny grain, and a person may have died and been in a grave for, you know, 20,000 years or something. But that grain is going to be there. Okay, and it's from that the person will then be raised. So a body will actually come. A physical body will come. In terms of our souls, okay, in terms of, and we were talking about that, in the grave, it's more of a spiritual thing. So a person who has lived a good life, that person, the grave will be like a garden, a peaceful place. In some cases, they will even can actually see paradise, hear the sounds. If a person is wicked, the grave comes in on them, and they actually can experience something from hell. And they'll be in that condition until the day of judgment. But at that point, when the judgment comes, this huge apocalyptic noise, it's the Seha. It is like a horn, and there is an angel that's going to blow a horn, and it's going to be a sound. And sound is a very heavy thing. Sound is actually used as a weapon now. And sound can destroy all forms of life. So the sound, these sounds will be the changing, transition aspects. It will bring the transition to the day of judgment. Okay? And then on that mawqif, people will be there, and it's another world that we're actually going to be in. Okay? And we'll go into a little bit of a discussion about that in one of the coming sessions. But before we reach that, because of our time, I want to open up the floor for any questions that anybody has concerning the final major signs. So these are the 10 signs. Okay? Any questions anybody has concerning that? Okay.
So you mentioned that hadith where the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that people will know the pillars of Islam, will know what Islam. Does that mean that the Ummah will be weakened and eroded? And
yeah.
And what we're seeing today is prophecy, more or less?
Yes, so again, this is a long period of time, right? Mm-hmm. This is not like tomorrow. And there can be ups and downs and all kinds of things that will happen before that actually happens. But this is coming right near the end of human existence in the form that we know. It's right at the end. And that last time period, when that horn goes, when that sound goes, it's going to be excruciating pain. And so that the people who will experience that will be the worst people who have ever lived. And the last believers, their souls will be taken by this light wind. Their souls will be taken out. So they will not experience that final sign before the judgment day is going to begin. Okay? So before that time, the Ummah is going through a lot of different changes. As I said, if we went back to the minor signs, it appears that we're right near a type of Armageddon, you know, major world wars, you know, coming about. And then so much oppression in the land that the leader comes to the Muslim world called the Mahdi. And the Mahdi will come, and then, you know, Muslims are united, and then Antichrist is also arising. Okay, it's all right around that same time. And then it reaches, this confusion is there all over the world. And then Muslims are now struggling against these forces. And then Isa, Jesus, comes, right? And then Dajjal. See, these are all coming then. So we haven't reached the point even of the Mahdi coming. We have not reached that. But the oppression that is happening now, some of the things is actually fulfilling signs. If you know the signs of the last days, some of it is fulfilling signs. The things that are happening to the people of Palestine now, some of the descriptions, you know, that have come out of these wartime situations, it's unbelievable. You know, the things, if you know the signs. Like, there is one sign where the Prophet ﷺ is saying that, you know, the time will come where the person, you know, who passes a grave will say, "I wish I was there." And that's literally what they're saying. Some of the people who are actually, I don't want to get too graphic, you know, the bombs hitting you and, you know, the burns, right? Burns are really bad. So that some of the doctors said, actually, the ones that are dead are better off, right? Because they're blocking the hospitals. They have an operations without anesthesia, right? So this is where, even those signs, the person who's actually in the grave is better off. But these things will come, and it will reach a climax, and that's where we believe that Jesus will come back. Isa alayhi salam is alive. He was not killed. He was not crucified. It was made to appear to them that he was, and he will return. Right? And with his return, now is this major change going on, right? Antichrist, you know, is there with their forces, right? And then this major change goes on, and Isa alayhi salam, you know, is victorious. But then Gog and Magog, we talked about that last week. That's another set. Isa makes the dua, and eventually Gog and Magog's gone, and then universal peace. So there will be a time when, as the tradition said, that Islam will enter every home. Some will accept, and some won't accept. Those who accept it will be honored, and those who will not will be humiliated. But it will reach everywhere. Okay, so that's a positive note, right? But our nature, we're weak, and we tend to go to material things and our desires and whatever. So this is how human beings have done. Ibn Khaldun, one of the great historians, look at history like a circle. So people are like, when they're living up to their principles, they're on a high point. But when they leave their principles, or when their children take over, or their children, they forget, and it goes down. And then it's got to rise again. So we're in this cycle, right? And so, but these, what you're looking at here, would be the final cycles. That's it. After that, there's no more cycles. Because we're at the end of time. Okay? Floor is open for any questions. You had a question, Mo? Yeah. We don't want to go too deep into some of the details because we just did this as a new Muslim class, right? But basically, you know, there's a lot of weak traditions about the Mahdi. So there's a lot of weak traditions. Some are saying there will be 3 eclipses of the sun, you know, in Ramadan. Like, there's a lot of things, but they're not strong traditions. You know, and one of the strong traditions say about the Mahdi, يُصْلِحَهُ اللَّهُ فِي اللَّيْلَةِ. Allah will repair him, get him together in one night. So he does not know who he is. And it's going to come about. But oppression is going to be in the land. But the landslides, no. Not necessarily, because landslides have happened historically in many places. Okay? Any question online that anybody have there? Any other questions that anybody has? Yeah? Okay. In the back, go ahead. The creature, again, is a major sign of judgment. And this creature comes saying to the people, you know, you did not really believe. You know, like it's a way of, you know, testing the people and then, you know, scaring the people in a sense. So this Dabba, this creature.
So the creature's
like advocating for. Yeah, so the creature is actually showing the people how weak they actually were. Okay, so it's not really an evil type of creature, you know, like that we see on the movie Godzilla or some things, you know, attacking us. No, it's not necessarily that.
I have one more question. So the Jal is human, but like there's the story of how people may have encountered him back in the Prophet's time, but then there's stories that like he will be born later.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is a little bit advanced question, you know, for our class. However, you know, the Antichrist, the scholars string together the information. But the things that are happening to the Antichrist is sort of supernatural. But what we do know is that he will be born in Isfahan, somewhere in that area, and then seen somewhere in the area of Syria or of Iraq or something as a human being. So Dajjal is not a cyclops. You know the Greek story of the cyclops? It's got one eye on an island, you know, in the Mediterranean. It's not the cyclops. Although, again, there is a hadith where they saw this creature. And so things are not so clear as to how long he actually lived. Is it Ibn Sayyad from the Prophet's time who took another form? Allah knows best. Nobody can really say without a doubt. But we do know that right near the end of time, as one of the major signs, he will appear and he'll be a human being. So he's not 20-foot tall cyclops, you know, creature. That's people's imaginations, right? And it's not as the Christians say, you know, it is not, you know, the son of the devil who, you know, had a relationship with a woman and gave birth to him. That's, you know, a Christian belief. Not even all Christians believe that. That's the Antichrist. So people will use this term. Even there was a person called Nostradamus. That during the Middle Ages, Nostradamus, who was a Jewish man, and he used to study Kabbalah. And the Kabbalah is like their magic-like. So he used to study Kabbalah, and during that time, there was a plague, bubonic plague. And he lost his wife, he lost his children, he went through a lot of changes. And then he started to write quatrains, poetry. And so this became the prophecies of Nostradamus. And they say in Europe, after the Bible, this was the most read book in European history in the Middle Ages, was Nostradamus' book. And he spoke about what would happen in his poetry near the end of time. Now, he's hearing voices, could be the jinn, you know, that came to him, and he wrote these things. But he talked about three antichrists that would come. And people have made a lot of their own judgments about this. I remember being, I was living for a while doing dawah in the island of Jamaica. And this Nostradamus thing used to come periodically, and everybody would be watching it. So it came there, and they made a new movie of it. And so he said, he was talking about three antichrists. And they interpreted, they said the first one was Napoleon. The second one was Hitler. And the third one, according to his quatrain, is an Arab prince. It's an Arab prince will be the third one that will come. And at that time, of course, to how the history of the world was going at that time, because they tried to make the picture of Saddam Hussein, if anybody you know, the leader of Iraq. Another time they made a movie and they said it's Osama bin Laden. Right, so they keep changing it around. But he did say in his quatrains that Muslims would be everywhere. Everywhere. But, you know, he didn't look at it in a positive way, but he said Mohammedans. The Mohammedans will be all over the world, will have power, and amongst them will be this prince. Now, it could have been a distorted way of saying this prince could be the Mahdi, right? It could be, Allah knows best. I mean, he's getting a lot of distorted things, and he puts it in quatrains, you know, and then people translate it like they want. Okay, so that's the thing with Nostradamus. We're just going with the information that we have. It's better not to go too deep into this. Because if you go too deep, then you'll start having dreams and you'll see things happening and you'll think that, you know, is that the Antichrist across the street? Our imaginations are really active now, right? So it's better not to go, understand what it is, get the information, but don't waste a lot of time, you know, on the stories, and the internet's going to be filled with this stuff now. So don't waste your time on that, you know, this information that's all over the place. Stick with the solid information and really with those things that's going to help us practice Islam now. Because that's the most important issue, you know, for Muslims today. Question, go ahead.
Question online.
Yeah, what was that question online? Yeah, there is an Armageddon, you know, a Melhama, but it is not said where it would actually start. So it appears it would be somewhere, you know, in what they call the Middle East. Okay, but it's not specified, but it looks like somewhere in the Middle East, but not necessarily Iran. That could be propaganda, you know, because some people want Iran to be attacked now, right? If you're following the propaganda. So they might want to say that. No, that's not true. That's not true. Okay?
What will happen when Isa sees the Dajjal?
So when Jesus comes, right, he'll be coming down in Damascus and have two sets of clothing on. His hair is like wet. His hair is kind of curly here. And it's wet, and he's coming down. He's coming from above, right? So he's coming down, and then the Muslims are there, and then he joins the Muslims. He allows the Mahdi to lead, finish the Salat, and he joins the Muslims. And then the word comes, Dajjal is amongst your people. So they will go from Damascus down toward Palestine. Now, you hear these names, but the distance between Damascus and Jordan and Palestine is not far at all. It's like, you know, driving from here to Windsor or something like that. That's all. That's how close it is. It's not far. The maps are kind of distorted. So they're really close. So he will actually, you know, come and turn toward Palestine. And at a place called Lud, Bab al-Lud, it is in that place that the confrontation will happen. And when Dajjal sees Jesus and he realizes, now he will like melt like salt and water, like he would just lose all of his strength and confidence. Because he was really confident person, right? Flying all over the world and, you know, tricking everybody, and he has a huge army. Now, when he sees Isa, he melts, and then Isa will defeat him and take his life there in a place called Lud. And Lod, if you go to Palestine to Tel Aviv, in the airport there, it used to be called Lod Airport, but now it's called Ben Gurion. And if you drive from there, that airport, toward Jerusalem, it's a couple hours and you're there. It's not long. When you drive toward there, you will pass a forest and even signs at Lod. So that it's right around that area, you know, there. Okay. Any other general questions anybody has? Yeah. Go ahead. Yes, so the Muslims then, the Mahdi will unite the Muslims. As far as all the Muslims are concerned, only Allah knows best because there's so many Muslims in so many areas. But he will basically unite, you know, a major body of the Muslims. But we don't know if it's all because people are too far away, whatever. But basically he will be the leading force for the believers there at that time. And there's a wrong understanding. You'll hear it online now because there's all these type of things. But there's a wrong understanding, and I don't want to go too deep into this amongst the new Muslims. But the main body of Muslims who follow the Quran and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the Sunnah, what is called Sunnah, which is the Prophet's way, right? We believe that a person will come close to now. His name is Muhammad. His father's name is Abdullah. His mother's name is Amina, and he will be from the family of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And he will have a high bridge forehead, and his nose will be like a high bridge nose. Okay, that's kind of the descriptions, you know, for the Mahdi. And he will unite the believers in Mecca. So then they will meet him in Mecca, between the black stone and the Yemeni corner. These are corners of the Kaaba in Mecca. That's where they will meet the Mahdi. There's a wrong understanding that a person who lived over 1,000 years ago amongst the group called the Shia, and they believed that he crawled into a cave and he went into a cult state, and he will come back as the Mahdi. In a place called Samarra. So there's a place in Iran called Samarra. It's in Iraq, actually. And they think that he'll come out of that masjid area. There was a place where that is rejected by 99% of the Muslims. Totally rejected. Because that means he's in an occult state. Nobody's in a condition like this. Only Isa, alayhi salam, only Jesus was the one who was raised and will return. There's no solid proof to show that this person will actually return. And the descriptions, his name wasn't actually Muhammad, his father's name was not Abdullah. There's so many things why their argument is weak, okay, and it is rejected. But they believe in it. And you might see strange things. There was one of their leaders before Ahmadinejad used to be their leader, and he was in the United Nations. And he was addressing the General Assembly. And he said, I see the green. I'm seeing green. You know, and people didn't know what he was talking about, right? He was saying, I see the green, like, flags. You know, like he was saying the Mahdi. And nobody knew what he was talking about except the Shia. Right? So it will come up in their discussions. But it is not accepted, you know, by us. You know, unless, you know, we actually have solid proof. And if somebody says he's the Mahdi, like I said in the class again, and I'll say it over and over again, if somebody claims he's the Mahdi in front of you or the Mahdi has come, go the other way. And I said, I had my experience before in Cape Town where the person came to me and he said, Brother Abdullah, because Cape Town's a, you know, really exciting town, 150 masjids, all kinds of things. So he came to me and he said, the Mahdi is in Cape Town and he wants you to do a fundraising dinner for him. And I said, okay, fundraising dinner. I mean, doesn't he have angels with him? What does he want a fundraising dinner? So he want me, because he figured I'm a, oh, this American fundraiser, right? So I can raise some funds. Then I looked at this brother close and he had this green turban on, and his eyes were glazed, like he just smoked something, or like his eyes were like glazed. I said, okay, right? So maybe he thinks he's the Mahdi. So that's a mental issue, right? He has mental problems. And unfortunately, you know, people who have certain types of psychotic incidents, they will have what they call visions of grandeur. Like they'll become Jesus, or they'll become somebody famous, you know, like that. And so this Mahdi thing is one of, unfortunately, some of our people who are not well. They'll project themselves like the Mahdi. So if the Mahdi comes, go the other way. Go the other way. You know, when his time comes, there's going to be a lot of oppression. People are saying right now, there's Muslims are in enough oppression around the world. But it's not 100%. There are many Muslims in many parts of the world who are doing okay. Okay? Things are getting tough for us here, but it's nothing like in other parts of the world. Okay, so we're not really at that point yet, although we are coming close, you know, to a very difficult time. No. Any other general questions anybody has at this point? Yeah.
Just clarifying, we're sharing more about the state of the people who are in their graves. So you said for the believers, they would be more spacious, and mm-hmm. they may be able to see or hear Jannah and others who are evil, it's smaller on them. What is their state? Like, are they, like, how is time for them? Like, is that a concept? Does it feel long? Like, are they alone?
You know, again, you know, it's something, you know, the death is, you know, it is, when a person dies, it is like the minor day of judgment. Because they're now, you know, and death is called wafat in Arabic, or mot. And sleep is considered to be a minor form of death. When you go to sleep, you are close to death. Because your breathing slows down, your heart slows down, and then you're in a spiritual world. So death now is a major form. So it's like a dreamlike state. So you're not physically there, but you're in a dreamlike state. And, you know, if it's positive, the person's in comfort, time goes by fast, you know, they're not bothered by things on earth. The people, if is suffering people's bad, then they're suffering like somebody, you know, when you have a bad toothache and you're up all night, like it's really bad, and you're suffering. It'll be for a period of time in the grave itself. Okay? So a judgment has come. And when the person dies, they have to answer the questions. Who's your Lord? Who's your prophet? Right? What's your religion? So there's a judgment that is happening right there in the graves. Okay? So we're going to take a break. Now it's our Isha time, Isha prayer. And then we'll come back. There'll be some social time, and we'll have some discussions also when we come back there. Okay, so we'll take a break for Salat. Billahi Tawfiq.